Let's just reach out our hands to Timothy as we pray for him, as he brings us God's message. Lord God, we thank you that you are Lord of all the earth. You invite us to come and to see your glory. And that is glory, and that is work that is so evident in the lives of your people, your faithful servants like Timothy. Thank you that he is an amazing man and you are using him in amazing ways. But my prayer this morning is, as he speaks to us, we will hear about and recognize the amazing God that you are at work in him and through him. So please, Lord, just bless his words, encourage his own heart and his own spirit as he shares with us. And may it be for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. It was only about a year ago, I don't know what happened. I needed church to attend service last year while I was visiting New Morden, and someone dropped me off. Go to this church. So I came to this church, and there was a preaching about Timothy. So if it was not coincidence, I don't believe coincidence, of course, but God knew I was coming to give a talk, this church, or testify his work, and he's still working even right now. So I'm going to start with a story of a child, because it was last week, many British newspapers published about two-year-old boy. He was sent to prison camp in North Korea because his parents had a Bible. And I had a number of media interviews, and one of the journalists asked me, "We are very shocked with this news. 2-year-old boy was sent to prison camp because of his parents had a Bible." And I told them, "Why does it make you shocked? How many times have I been telling you about this situation?" Because I had an interview with them several times at least, and I told them repeatedly, because that is so normal, the situation in North Korea. If anyone's Christian materials discovered, children and whole families taken to prison camp and segregate into man section separate, woman section, and children section. And there are many categories of prisons in North Korea. And today we are grateful having this service. But when you think of what North Korea, can they have a service like this? No, of course, can't think of it. And they have complete information blockade. So I'm giving just a brief introduction of North Korea. You know already, but I'm going to tell you and repeat again, because I don't want anyone asking me, "Oh, wow." They have a complete information blockade from both inside and outside. It was only last year, December, which I also published a couple of articles in newspapers about a couple of teenagers were executed. It was under 16 because they watched South Korean drama. If it was Squid Game, I think some of you probably recognize what this drama is about. And that's something you and I can do on Weekend Hobbit, watching on YouTube, Netflix. That is not going to happen in North Korea. And you get punished. And the basic, very, very basic freedom of choice, what you can wear today. Look at the person sitting next to you. Do you wear same clothes? No. Do you have same hair colors? No. We all have different gift in our heart. That is God has given us. And we wear different shoes, different shirts, and different socks even, and hairstyle. But people in North Korea can't do that kind of even simple basic choice. What about the system of democratic country and democracy? The choice you can make, that is a foundation of God's commandment. God has given us choice to make. But that choice within good, not being suppressed and oppressed. If you don't follow and you end up in prison and prison camp. And when you buy a TV in North Korea, some of the North Korean people sitting in this church, I'm so glad my brothers and sisters are joining here today. We know that when you buy a TV in North Korea, the government come to your house and they take all channels out. And they leave only one channel. And what that one channel is for? The Kim Family program. And a very basic freedom of movement. And I came by train from Manchester to here yesterday. You only need a train ticket to go within towns and cities in free democratic countries. But in North Korea, what do you need? You need a travel document and permission in order to travel to other towns and cities. And people, I never knew what a passport was. And people do not know what a passport is. And only those elite, what they so-called, they can have that passport travel around. Yes, there are 44 countries in North Korean embassies and thousands of North Korean diplomats. They can have that passport, what they so-called elite. And people have never imagined for foreign holidays. And it's a large prison country. And it is very dark when you look at through the Google satellite, how dark it is. And compared to South Korea, China, and other countries. That is North Korea. And I was born there. A number of people in this church we are joining today were born there. And we thought that was normal. And I thought that was normal. In 1994, I remember, I was about six when first Kim, I called first and second and third Kim. I'm not going to call their full names. So please forgive me. But when first Kim died in 1994, I was crying and I didn't even eat 3 days. For 3 days, I was in very sad because I thought my God died. And when I asked my father, what are we going to do? Because our God died. And my father said, no, son, it's okay. We are not following the second Kim. And now, third Kim. And brainwashed and indoctrination start from age two, having I mentioned that earlier, from that when they start walk, where they have to bow to that Kim family and picture frames. And outside we have over 50,000 Kim family statues, every single of village, town, and cities, everywhere you go, you see that you have to bow to it. And I stood elections 3 times, local elections, in Manchester. I'm not going to tell you which party I belong to. But here you have an election candidate. And I was so grateful I could become one of the candidates knocking doors. But in North Korea, you have only one candidate. So their turnout, 150%. Great function of democracy in North Korea is. But that one candidate, if you don't vote for him, you go to prison. So it is a man of God in North Korea. They cannot allow any kind of religions or even any kind of what talks about anything against, even thought crimes is a crime in North Korea. And I didn't know that was a prison country, was like a prison in North Korea. And I was discovering all this reality from the moment after my parents escaped to China. Yes, I was a boy, and my parents had to escape due to the circumstances. But what they left, my father's escape, did live with the son of betrayal tag, where North Korea has this system. They categorize 25 million population into three classification systems. Top, medium, and the bottom side, what they call enemy class. About 30% of the population are belonging to this enemy class. You get discriminated against everything, including food, healthcare, jobs, and opportunities. Once you are in there, you have tag. So I didn't have that. I couldn't go to school from age 10, and which I had to practice my Korean language sometimes on the floor. And that trauma today, I still have. One of the obsessions is collecting pens. I have thousands of pens on my desk. Because when I came to this country, that opportunity, basic opportunity of pen and paper was available. I was able to learn English, go to schools, colleges, and universities. Couldn't have this in North Korea. And I survived. And living on the street that time, what was going on in the 1990s in North Korea? Mass starvation. what happened in the 1990s. Soviet collapsed, and communist China and Vietnam even were opening the doors with outside because they could not feed their own people. China killed under Mao over 40 million population of starvation mainly. And Soviet, how many? And Vietnam, over 1 million? So they knew they could not go into isolation. Then North Korea, what did they say when Chinese leader said, Kim, we are going to open the window. Then Kim said, if you open the window, flies come in. And they closed. And that consequence of over 3 million people die of starvation and people were escaping to China, then what happened? Children. And hundreds of thousands of children on the street that time. And about two months ago, it was in May, last month, I testified at the United Nations Human Rights Council. 67 countries were there, including China and North Korea. And Cuba, Iran, and Russia, they were certainly not happy, anyone from opposition side, they were standing with North Korea. But one of the my own experiences during my homeless life that I testified was there. When I woke up at a train station, early in the morning, I felt my back was itching so badly. I asked a friend, could you have a look what was going on my back? And he told me, oh, wow, many bed bugs burrowed under your skin. It was a strange feeling of pain, itching and pain. And I asked him, can you kill those bed bugs? So how do you do that? You use needle to poke every single of that bed bug, and you kill them, and back looked horrific because blood was streaming. But then the far worst was and horrific when we discovered the two other homeless children died of starvation next to us. Their bodies were collected in the morning. And I don't forget them until even now, where I live now. And this is what I think I must speak. And North Koreans, we should not hesitate to talk about what we had gone through, whether that with friends, church, family, colleagues, because stories have to be told and remind us where we are, what we are heading for. That was one of my experiences. Slept on the train, on the street, in train containers, under bridges. Later, which I was thankful my grandmother was taking, accepted me and lived with her until then certain age I reached. When I tried to join the army in North Korea, they said, no, because your father betrayed this country. I didn't even know what was my father's crime. And I told him, I will work hard. And I will work hard so I will pay back to you without even being known what my crime was. But they said no. So compulsory national military in North Korea, even from 145 centimeter height and 38 kg, you have to join the army, every single boy. But many of my friends who joined the army came back home with malnutrition. They can't even feed their own armies. 7 million army. And that moment I was thinking, wow, even if I am married in North Korea having children, my children would be born with crimes. They would be born with crime. And I'm glad that my two children are now, they were born in Stockport. They don't have that crime. And I made the decision, I'm going to escape to China. It was for survival, my first escape. Cross the border to China, and it can be 50-50. You could be killed, arrested, or you can be successful. My case was successful to come across the border to China. But what I remember, first time to come to China, age 17, I have two very shocking experiences. One was I went to market around the 6 p.m. getting dark. So many different lights. Red, yellow, blue, green, you know, all these lights spinning around. And people were wearing different clothes. And first time I saw someone was wearing jeans with holes, I was like, oh, wow. There were many different types of fashions, hairstyles, and exotic food smell on the market. And that moment I was thinking, wow, I had never seen those things. But we were told, best country, best leaders in the world. And now second experience, meeting with a missionary guy, probably I could compare with someone like Simon. But I thought that guy was a human trafficker. That's what North Korea was educated us, how missionaries used to come to Korea kidnapping children. And they did many bad things. There are many propaganda, anti-Christian propaganda, and cartoons, films, dramas, musicals. We all know people from North Korea. They constantly tried and stipulate into your brain, nothing able to go in there than about this propaganda. There was an American missionary who was jailed in North Korea, Kenneth Bear. He was got out when Trump got elected. He worked with Kim and got him out. But he was sentenced to labor camps in North Korea. He was arrested by North Korea, arrested and taken to North Korea. But in 6 months' time, he was in labor camp. And while he was working in the farm, and in his testimony, he said, all of a sudden, he was whispering Kim family song. And that moment, he was like, why am I singing? So in 6 months' time, this missionary, American missionary guy, he was in the labor camp, and he was now indoctrinated by this music and slogans, films, and dramas. So 25 million people in North Korea, that in prison cell country, they are indoctrinated, brainwashed. But they have to think of the only Kim is their God. And this missionary guy took me to his house. He said he was going to help me. And entering this house, first thing I saw, the Bible. I didn't know what Bible was. And cross necklace. And few North Korean orphan children in the house. But what strange was that as soon as I saw that cross necklace, I was trembling because I thought it was a curse. And this missionary, he was holding this cross necklace. Every time when he tried to bend his back, it was dangling like this. And my eyes would keep following like that. And I thought even if I touched that briefly, my finger would be rotten straight away. And I did not eat anything that they offered me food because I was thinking they might put sleeping pill in there. So if I fall asleep and wake up in the human trafficking. And I ran away from this house. But I didn't realize that was first God's provision. And when you run away from God's, that something coming from God's opportunity, now you are going through the pain and turbulences. And I arrested at the Mongolian border with 17 other North Korean escapees. Youngest ages were 4 and 6 year old. Unfortunately, we did not successful because North Koreans, we do not have a passport. When they come to China, you are arrested by Chinese authorities and sent back to North Korea. We are persecuted politically, economically, religiously. Every country who you go to, and if that country has a UN refugee charter, you can claim asylum. But China is one of the countries signed that charter. They don't do that. Of course, it's communist brotherhood with North Korea, they cooperate. The problem is when they are arrested and sent back to North Korea, and if any of them met with someone come from South Korea and Western countries, you are now suspended as a spy. And an act of treason apply, you take you to prison camp. Then you can't get out. Every Christian, and if you are discovered faith, they tell you you're a spy. They use the Western countries, use the Christianity as a religion, the tool to destroy North Korea. That's how they educate from early age. So in the past 20 years, we do not know exact data, but it could be around 1 million people have tried to escape. But how many only got out? 35,000. Only 35,000 got out. And now, thankfully, they have arrived in democracy safely. And some of them are in New Maldon and in South Korea, U.S. Proportion, the total population of 25 million, only 35,000, so tiny and tiny. So they, every single of heart in North Korean SKPs, they must have this mission and calling to speak about it. What persecution is about, what darkness is about, what totalitarian regime about. Why can we not talk about the message of love and God? Because of the darkness, they cannot allow that message of good and God, love, to go inside. They don't like good news because they are darkness. And I was sent back to North Korea, and after experienced a couple of military and prison and city prison, and sent back to North Korea. It was not a nice feeling. The first thing that North Korean police asked us were, anyone in this group been to church and prayed in China? I did not expect that question. Because I did not have any religious education in North Korea. I did not know what was Protestant, what was Catholic, Hindu, Muslims. Tell me, any types of religions. No. Then why they were asking us, anyone been to church and prayed in China? And children, they were asking them, open the palms, the young children, and with that stick, they were checking every single finger because children pray like that. So what happens if you pray like this? The thick layer is on your fingerprint. And they then discover, you've been to prayer house. Now, you come to this line. And where they're going to end up? Like that two-year-old boy ended up in prison camp. They got and end up there. And I denied. Because I ran away from missionary's house. I was confident about it. And now I was in a North Korean prison cell. I could see there were a number of prison cells, but I only talk about one prison cell where I was in. Small room, about 50 people. We didn't have enough space to lie down. And we were sitting upside, sitting like this and upside against on each other's back. That's how we were sleeping. Of course, the toilet is next to us, not private. And once you got in there, you have no names. And I don't want to cause my brothers and sisters from North Korea the trauma, telling the details inside. But early in the morning, I felt my back was getting heavier, and I was telling that guy who was leaning against my back, less lean on me, because too heavy for me. But his body was falling when I turned my head back. He died while he was leaning against my back. That's why he was so heavier. And I saw, at nighttime, I felt his body was very hot. He had temperatures. And also, blood was dropping somewhere from his back. I don't know where he was beaten up or tortured. And no medical treatment. And none of them asked. And died of their starvation. There were 2 scoops of noodle soup each day that time. And his body dragged out of the cell. Just like nothing else. And that moment, I was thinking, I'm going to be killed like him. But it feels so strange if someone died on your back. And I've seen children died on the street. And I've seen public execution when I was 11 years old. And how a man tied up on the post, and eyes and belly and knees. And 3 policemen had AK-47. Each one had 3 bullets, 9 bullets going into each that covered the area and body falls, and that was public execution. And I even collected the bulletproof after the execution done. And I thought it was normal. But we were told to sit at the front of the crowd and watching the public execution. And now I've seen someone who died in prison, killed. And time to time, I do go back to hearing at nighttime, how these inmates were screaming and begging to leave. All that process still, it never run away. I have to say I was lucky. I was blessed, got out from this prison when they sent me to my grandmother's house because I couldn't walk and I couldn't sit down. And when I went sent to my grandmother's house, local police came and they come meant to check. Particularly, each local area in North Korea, we have a supervisor who keep watching on you. And they were checking how fast I was progressing from that couldn't stand up and sitting well. But in 3 days' time,
In a few days' time, I asked my grandmother, I need to get out from this country and help me, please. So she found another person who was able to help me to cross the border to China. So that was my second escape. And my grandmother later escaped as well. So she was in South Korea. She passed away December last year. Second time come to China, I was hoping to meet with this another missionary guy, but God did not provide me with another missionary this time. I think he was quite upset maybe because I could run away from you again. But and I was traumatized to go to another border and went to plan to go to American school in Shanghai. Met eight North Korean women on a train in Beijing, and we traveled to Shanghai together. And once we arrived, then we managed to cross the fence of the American school, and we went inside. We asked them, please help us. We are North Korean escapee. We need to get out from China, because China is not a safe country. We need to get out. And school principal came after spoke to someone and said to us, unfortunately, this is a public school, not a diplomatic center. We cannot help you. And a bunch of Chinese police came and forcibly dragged us into police vans. Meanwhile, many school children, like young kids, up to 14-year-olds, were watching us in tears. And I thought there was no more hope when I was at the Shanghai police station. I even tried to kill by myself. And number of North Korean escapees, most of them, they prepare to kill by themselves during their escaping journeys because they know they don't want to be sent back and killed or end up in a prison camp, and which I did have some sleeping pills as well. I thought that sleeping pills could kill me. So in the police station toilet, I swallowed them with toilet water and I collapsed on the floor. I felt, okay, I'm now died. I don't have to worry about going back to North Korea. But I woke up with so fresh feeling of good night's sleep. Now I end up in Shanghai International Prison Cell, and Chinese police told us, you'd sent back to North Korea soon by helicopter or boat. And I was crying every night, not eating well. Then I had seven inmates, all different nationalities. And one of them was a South Korean guy. He was a gangster. It looked quite scary, this guy. You can imagine the image of gangster, how he looked like. He came and asked me, because we speak the same language, why are you crying? You're not eating well. And I explained to him, well, I would be sent back to North Korea and I would be killed or executed because I went to American school. North Korean brothers and sisters, they know what means of America in North Korea. One of school school sports activities, you are hitting American toys until it falls. Because America is the greatest enemy, North Korea still able to survive by itself. And they teach children how to hate one another instead of love one another. So I could be a very great example to be executed in front of many young people. And now thinking of that, I couldn't sleep, of course, eating. And I told this gangster, and this strange, creepy gangster, he had a giant snake tattoos and big muscle and short hair. And when after he hearing my story, he went back to some belong to him and brought something from there. It was small and dark book. Mine is white because I don't want to carry small dark book anymore. But he had a Bible in that prison cell. And he brought the Bible. I ran away from the Bible when I first went to missionary's house. Now this Bible came back to me. And this gangster told me, you have some time in prison. You can read the Bible. And I thought he was crazy. I never read the Bible. I don't even know anything about this book. And I am thinking about how I'm going to be killed, and he's now telling me to read the Bible. How crazy he could be. And then he suggested me to pray to God for my survival. And then I was thinking, he's a definitely mentally crazy guy. Then that moment I was thinking, rather than I am crying every night and imagining how I'm going to be killed, maybe I could try to pray to God for my survival. But I didn't know how to pray. So I asked that gangster, how do you pray? with this serious face of this gangster, without any facial expression, he said, "You just say amen at the end of your wishes." That's how he taught me how to pray. Then the first sentence came to me was, "Okay, God, I don't want to be killed. Amen." That was my first prayer. "God, I don't want to go back to North Korea. Amen. God, I want to get out from this prison. Amen." So every single sentence I said, it was Christmas present list. You know, you ask God, you know, bring me for Santa presents this Christmas, and all those lists. But all I said, amen, at the end of it. Because that's what gangster told me to do. And that moment, I was thinking, God is someone, he's a powerful man. He may able to send a helicopter to me and destroy the prison building and get me out with the rope. I watched it in James Bond action films. So that was, I was thinking, so I was praying so many times a day, really. Because that was the only hope, that moment I was thinking and able to hold in that prison. It's dark. And if you not think of that, you have to think of how you're going to be killed. So I have exchanged that mind and keep praying, amen. For about five or six weeks going on, nothing was happening. I told the gangster, "No, God is not exist." And then he said, he didn't say anything. So I was determined, let me actually see if God really exists. So my last prayer was determined to ask God, "God, if you really, really exist in this world, you give me my freedom. Then in return, I would devote all my life to you. But if I was sent back to North Korea and I was killed, or I would even try to kill by myself again," I told him I was going to deny his existence. And I kept with exact same words until the last day when two men visited me in the prison. Later, an English pastor who gave me my name, Timothy, he actually told me, "Timothy, you made very dangerous prayers. Because of that, what you asked, you are here today." That's what he said to me. We think many people are, particularly these days, they slightly run away from God at the moment. Even in many Western societies, I've been to most of European countries where I was given an invitation and spoke and speak and pray for them. But if we do that, God knows what to do. But God is here. God works even when we are sleeping. His 1,000 years work is one day for us. And when two men visited me in the prison, I thought they were from North Korean embassy. And my legs were shaking. Went downstairs, and two men from far away distance smiling at me. No North Korean embassy guys. And one guy was a South Korean diplomat, and the other guy, he looked a Westerner, but I didn't know where he came from. And they said to me, "You're very lucky, very, very lucky. First time, or maybe the last time, the Chinese government has made decision to deport you and your group to the Philippines instead of North Korea." The behind the story was there. One of the school students from Shanghai American School, 13-year-old girl, she wrote an email to a journalist. Her email is still on Google Internet. I discovered it later. And she wrote an email, asked them, "We traumatized watching North Korean SKPs were arresting by Chinese police. We were young and powerless. We could not do anything. Would you please do something?" But then this journalist asked the BBC, which I have someone from BBC, worked for 30 years, and Washington Post, CNN, South Korea, Japan, Germany. So asked the media to join the campaign to pressure on the Chinese government. And those human rights and Christian groups who watched this news, now they joined the protest in front of Chinese embassies. So when I was thinking with my human brain, God might send an helicopter, the small helicopter, but God actually sent millions of helicopters. Around the world, campaign was going on. And when China made this decision reluctantly, it's because they could not fight against the the movement of international community, the good work and good cause work of God. So they made that decision. And 2 years ago, I visited America. I met a Christian group and human rights activism group, very active. And we talked about this story and asked me, how did you get out from North Korea? And I told them the story, how I got out. And then this lady was, it was your group. She still had that post, we prayed and campaigned for our group. They didn't even know how we were looked like. But all these groups were joined. And we were giving thanks to God. We were in tears that moment. We were given a diplomatic passport and sent to the Philippines. And after Philippines, second flight was waiting for us. It was first class. And I'm still thinking that passport, I didn't see that diplomatic passport, but that I still think that was a kingdom of passport. That kingdom of passport, if we keep knocking on God, all of us will get it. Then where will we fly to? Not to England. And eventually I was able to arrive in the UK in 2008 without spoken any English. Different part of story. What I have learned through that experience, I never expected that was going to happen in my life, but what I have learned through that experience, suffering does not destroy faith, but refines it. It is the same faith when Abraham had over 40 years he wandered on the desert. Same faith Noah had when everyone called him a crazy guy. Why are you building the ark? But he did. Because he saw what God was telling him when everyone was running away from God. And the same faith Moses had. Old man. An old man, he still then believed that in faith God was calling him to do that mission. And that same faith, oh, we are here today. And because of that faith, you meet with North Korean Christians and those underground Christians who can't even pray like us. And that same faith, we know where we go to heaven one day. Normal tears, normal wars, normal refugees, normal depression, normal family debt issues. We will go there. But until then, we have a task to do. This is God's creation. This is God's creation. And God has given us each heart task to look after and stand with our brothers and sisters. But what is going on at the moment? Persecution. 360 million persecution. At this moment, one in every seven persons, they are being persecuted because of their faith. Because of their faith holding this Bible and talking about love of God and Jesus, they got end up in prison and persecuted and discriminated. My brother here, and David Campinelli, he was telling me yesterday what's happening in India, how many churches were burned, and some people were burned because of their faith. In 2019, I got this letter from Jeremy Hunt. He was a foreign secretary then. Now he's a chancellor. And he wrote this letter about persecution in North Korea and around the world. We will stand together. But 4 years ago, he described 245 million Christians worldwide persecuted. 245 million. And today, 360 million. 360 million. Are we sleeping? Western churches are sleeping. Western churches and Christians are sleeping. I can tell you, you know more this history than me. William Wilberforce, who was a politician and Christian. And in 1800s, when he first talked about emancipation of slavery, everyone thought he was a crazy guy. What is he going to talking about? No one paid attention. But his faith kept on the campaign for slavery 40 years after. that legislation passed in our parliament not long ago from here, the distance of this parliament, 1833. Have we not got all of these people anymore? Have we not got any of these Christians who stand for justice and God's love, persecution? And I'm not only here today telling you and sharing my own story of persecution, but I'm here to telling you, to make you feel uncomfortable. That's what God's message is about, make you feel uncomfortable. None of us can be granted for this freedom. We built upon philosophical and moral test for centuries. What is a philosophical, ethical, and moral is this? This book, after 2,000 years, is still the most popular book in the world and most people read. And whenever I'm thinking about the persecution, the man, the beautiful man of who came to this place with the most power, but he was chosen to be persecuted. His name was Jesus. He was on the cross. Then what did he say before he died on the cross? Father, they don't know who they are persecuting. Forgive them. North Korean regime or underground 100 million Christians in China or Nigeria, Burma, Nicaragua, Cuba, Colombia, Sudan. Should we name all these countries? They think they are persecuting their own people. But Jesus comes to tell you why you are persecuting me and my people. If we are continue to take this sleeping mode, God will allow this storm rage. He calmed the storm. He also allowed that storm to rage. Seen the history of it, Israel was conquered by 40 times by his enemy. Why? That promised land shouldn't be conquered by the enemy side. But he did allow God did today. Don't think it's going to be here forever. Persecution. Persecution is the past, present, and future context. Past England, Western countries were going through that persecution. And today, present context, these countries, 360 million, India, North Korea, and you name those countries, Iran, we have Iranian brother here. And future context of the persecution, we do not know where it's going to happen. It's happening in our country, even in Britain, and some Western societies. When one part body suffers, all part of body suffers. Any doctors in this room, surgeons, you know that when we even have little pain, all our body then get aches. And that we must feel comfortable, uncomfortable today. But we do this with an act of love. When I first came to England, I thought I didn't have to pray anymore. Because God gave me freedom. That's what I asked for. But I was keep going back to knocking on his door because I was going through trauma, nightmares, and flashbacks. I thought all these things, what I've seen back home in North Korea, was keep coming back to me. It was keep coming back to me. At nighttime, I woke up at midnight. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know. In North Korean prison, Chinese prison, I was crossing the border. And I had to go outside of my street. And when I eventually saw English road sign, I was able to go back to bed and sleep. But that was, I was going to hatred and darkness. Hatred and darkness. And I was still not fully learning of this love and accepted it. And one of the worst traumas I had after I read about prison camp. And for 3 nights, I couldn't turn the light off. And on the second night, I was on the corner of my room. I fell asleep. I felt my girlfriend came and give me a hug. Because someone was giving me a hug very tightly. It was so warm, and warm enough I was able to fall asleep. I opened my eyes up. It was not my girlfriend. No one was there. It was God. And I have cried out so many times to God, why you are not in North Korea? Why you are only in rich countries? Why you are not going there? Because I didn't know how God works. And every time when I keep banging on his door, crying out to him, even you didn't leave me to die in North Korea, but why you brought me here up here? And he keeps telling me only one word. I love you, son. You know, that word is powerful enough. Love. When I first read that verse in prison, I didn't understand the whole entire book. It was so difficult language of the Bible in prison to read it, but only one verse I understood. John 14a, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I thought I was an orphan. But God was telling me, no, you're not. First time I felt something was come to my heart, it was love. When we know someone is loved, I am being valued. That is powerful resources. That's what God wants you, all of us know about it. And 5 years ago, I was on a bus in Manchester. My mother rang me from a hospital. She was in South Korea. She couldn't talk because she had a paralyzed, her body paralyzed for years, stayed in the hospital. But the doctor told him, your mom is going to die in a couple of hours. But your mom has one question for you. Son, could you forgive me? And that one sentence, it brought me full of tears on a public bus. And I told her, Mom, I have already forgiven you. And told her what I was doing in the UK, learning English, schools, universities, and both degrees. I studied in politics, and I was expecting to get my parliamentary internship work in the UK Parliament, the one of the oldest, very old democracy, 800-year-old building of democracy. And she was in full of tears, and she died in peace, but she lived 2 more weeks. And I attended her funeral. It was a beautiful funeral. I love it. I loved it. That 13-year-old girl from the American school, did she know anything about? Even maybe she was not a Christian. An act of love? God, guide our heart and love. And we do this, an act of love, instead of hatred, discriminate one another. When Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He was telling us about love. How many times he said in the Bible, love. When we have that faith and love guide us, there is hope. This is the hope from 2,000 years ago, even far back, and until we have this. And we will move forward. Because God is standing with us. And let's keep up the good cause work on our part. And amen. That will let us know why we must do stand up and speak out against the global persecution and against injustice, corruption. And even when our brothers and sisters who are sleeping around the Western society, we still pray for them. Because God knows how to cause our heart. And that lady who dropped me a piece of bread and coin in my hand when I was a homeless boy in North Korea, I still don't know who she was. But that her act of, an act of love encouraged me. I saw her backside. If she knows that I am now talking about love of God today, I'm not sure where she is in North Korea or died, but that small act of love, that what God urging us to do. And I will finish up with this guy who I quote his words. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you know who that guy was, a theologian, activist, and he was a German citizen, but he stood against persecution. He could choose on the side of Hitler, then he could have spared his life. But he knew God was not telling him to stand, compromise that side. He stood against Hitler's persecution. And he said that silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. Speak and act, but we do this with an act of love, where Jesus gives us his new commandment, love your neighbors. Lovely brothers and sisters, God bless you all. Thank you.
So much, Timothy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timothy, for bringing us that message, which certainly is uncomfortable. Certainly, which is challenging, but which testifies in an amazing way to God's grace and God's love. And the thing I think I was struck most about in some ways by that was just the range of people that God used to speak to Timothy and to bring him out. He used his grandmother. He used a Chinese missionary. He used a South Korean gangster. He used a 13-year-old. He used the prayer group. How might God use you to work his amazing love and grace in the lives of those around you?